Appreciate that message. I always enjoy hearing preaching from the book of Job because I'm still trying to sort out some of those things myself. appreciate that so much. I want to continue along the same lines that I've been preaching for a couple of weeks now, in connection, not necessarily dealing with it, but in connection with the fruit of the Spirit. Now, my first question is, did you do your homework? I gave you some homework. Let me see it. The homework was, pay attention how much of your time this past week was spent in bearing fruit of the Spirit. And then the other part of that was to see if there was any need for improvement and maybe do a little bit more of that. You know, I told you that in the First Thessalonian letter, Paul has much praise for the church there because of their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. But he didn't just leave them there. He exhorted them to grow more and more. Which is exactly what the Lord Jesus did in John chapter 15 when he talked about the true vine, and he's the true vine, and we're the branches, and you know where the fruit's born on a vine, right? It's out on the branches. And he said, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit in me, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The Lord loveth righteousness. That's what he wants to see out of us, that he has had so much mercy upon and has bestowed so much grace upon us. He wants to see righteousness from us. Because every time it says, thank you, Lord. Every time it says, I love you, Lord. It's good to say the words, but it's even better to show it. Right? All right? So, when we think about our life, and you know, by the way, it's been mentioned in a couple of ways this morning already, but I'm still rejoicing at what the Supreme Court's done recently. And I hope you are too. Because that's a step closer to what the Lord would be pleased with. I mean, it's because his ways are higher than my ways. But I just wonder sometimes why we as a nation are still here. With all the abominations that are legislated and approved legally. It's not, they're not changing God's way. Okay? So, I'm still rejoicing in that. How about you? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. All right? Now, I used this several years ago, and it's been on my mind again. But it's a thought that God is most glorified by us. That's what we're after, isn't it? I mentioned John 15. John 15, verse 8, the Lord said, herein is my Father glorified. Now, that's our first primary job as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to bring glory to his name because of what he's done for us. All right? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. So if I were to ask you, how are you to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you know how to answer that? By bearing much fruit. Okay, kind of simple, isn't it? But it's simply profound. Okay, when we think about all that he's done for us, he's not requiring great things of us, but out of love and thanksgiving, we can give much praise and honor and glory to his matchless name, thereby letting our light shine and giving glory to our God which is in heaven. It's not only our job, it's our privilege. It is the high privilege that we have, that he has blessed us to know him. He has blessed us to understand what he's done for us. He has blessed us to understand the truth of his word. How blessed we are. And so we ought to give praise and honor and glory at every remembrance of what he has done for us. Now, back to the statement I was going to say. God is most glorified by us when we're the most satisfied in him. Let me say it again. He's the most glorified by us when we are the most satisfied in him. Are you satisfied with God? Are you questioning God like some of those in the book of Job? Are you satisfied with the Lord? You know, this satisfaction is something that we oftentimes don't have in many ways in this life. The scripture says that when we awaken his likeness, we'll be satisfied. We can look forward to that time, can't we? Completely satisfied. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Practically speaking, we ought to be completely satisfied with our God right now and every day we live. Every breath we breathe, everything we do, we ought to manifest the fact that we are completely satisfied with our God and what he has done for us. Now, I'm not satisfied at all with what a lot of men have done. But what God does is right. What God does is holy. You know, even as Abraham said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And everything he does is right. And all of his word is right, whether we agree with it or not. All right? And so the more satisfied, and this takes some, we need to be proactive about this at times. We need to remind ourselves, you know, I had a real frustrating week not long ago. Sister Nancy's laughing over there. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. Well, probably you've had some frustrating weeks at times. Yeah. But you know, that's all it was frustrations. It wasn't a diagnosis of cancer. It wasn't the loss of my companion. It wasn't some great thing. It was just little frustrations. But if we're not careful, it'll ruin your day. And if you're not careful, you can ruin the days of everybody around you. Right? Remember, look at it for what it is. It's just frustrations. It's just little things. All right? That's why we're to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. I've said many times, you know, a sure prescription for fear depression and all of that is to just concentrate on what's happening in this world. Turn on the news. This in context here. I'm not telling you to turn on the news. I'm just saying, if you want your mind to be clouded with and confused and depressed with the things going on in this world, that's where you can find it. So what I'm saying, what the remedy is, turn it off. All right, there's better things to think about. There's, you know, I understand there's a need to be aware of what's going on. But, you know, Elder Sonny, I don't know if it was Sonny Powell or some other preacher used to say, you know, if the Russians attack, you know, somebody will tell me. There's just a lot of things I don't need to know. I used to watch the news a lot until I realized that is not a good place, good use of my time. Not a good use of our energy. Let's praise the Lord. Let's think about, let's do those things and think about those things that give honor and praise to his matchless name. So the more God is more glorified by us, the more satisfied we are in him. All right? Now, So not only is God most glorified when we're bearing much fruit, but we're going to bear more fruit when we're more satisfied with God. And that's a conscious, proactive mindset to remember the good things of our God and all that we have in Him, and let that be what controls our day. Okay? Now, since God cannot change. Now, maybe I should ask this. Are you always satisfied with God? Now, you might say, yeah, preacher, I'm always satisfied with God. Well, are you always bearing fruit? Well, I got some of these on that one. So, what changes? God doesn't change. He cannot change. Malachi 3 and 6, I believe it is, it says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. All right? God cannot change. You know why he can't change? Because he's perfect in every respect. If he should change, he would cease to be perfect in some respect. Right. He cannot change. He's holy, holy, holy. And everything about God is good and right. Okay? So what changes is us. We're the ones that get down in the dumps. We're the ones that have the variableness. We're the variable in this, okay? God cannot change. He's always good. You know, I'm amused sometimes, and I'll just use that word loosely, but I'm amused sometimes when somebody has a particularly good day, a particularly good blessing, and they'll say, God is good. As if that's he had to do that in order for them to say he's good. No, he's good all the time. All the time. Now, I understand the expression of jubilation. I understand the expression of joy and whatever. But I'm just saying, God is good. Even if your circumstances were awful, God would still be good. Right? Because he's so good and merciful and kind and gracious. And he gives us the strength that we need to get through those awful times in our lives. He is always good. We are the variable. Okay? Now, there's a couple of passages I want to notice. You know, when we remember, or let me do this. Let me give you a little exercise here. Think about some time in your life when the Lord has particularly blessed you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a deliverance. Maybe it was something that you really needed. Maybe it was a problem that you had and the Lord just took it out of your way. Think about how you felt about that. The joy. The jubilation that you had in your heart. And I hope that it came through in such a way that you moved your lips in praise and thanksgiving to God. Amen. Because he's worthy of more of that than we'll ever give him. That's why we have eternity, right? Just long enough to praise God enough. All right? So we find you remember those times and you remember how it made you feel. All right? I encourage you to bring those things to mind on a regular basis. That will help us. There's a lot of things going on in our world today that are just crazy. There's a lot of things in this world today that don't make sense. There's a lot of things that can drag us down if you're not careful. So remember those good things that God has done for us. Remember the scriptures. Remember God's goodness and mercy and the grace that he's bestowed upon us in giving us his son to save us eternally from the penalty of our sins. So we think about those things. All right? Now, there's a couple of scriptures I want to notice. Exodus chapter 15. I won't take time to read much there, but Exodus 15. If you remember your Old Testament, you know that this was when the children of Israel were delivered across the Red Sea. Right? Not in a boat. Remember that? I mean, we're talking about a great deliverance. If you remember when they came out of Egypt, and the Egyptians were pursuing them with the full intention of gathering them up and bringing them back to Egypt, but God had delivered them out with a mighty hand. And they came up to the Red Sea, and they were trapped. Absolutely trapped. Well, God didn't tell them to start building a boat. God parted the waters, and they walked across on dry land. Now, some have explained that it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. It was just ankle-deep water, and they could get across the Reed Sea to safety. Well, some have also said, well, that was just as big a miracle. They drowned Pharaoh's army in ankle-deep water. Whatever. It was the Red Sea, and the waters congealed. It stood up on each side and congealed, and those millions of Israelites walked across on dry land. And after they were gone across, then the Egyptians saw that they went across, so the Egyptians tried to go across. And what happened when the Egyptians tried to go across is the wheels of their chariots just drove into the ground. And the water came crashing down on them and drowned them. God gave them a tremendous deliverance on that day. And they sang about it. Read Exodus 15. It's the song of their deliverance from Pharaoh and his army. And God did it. All right? I just want one verse. Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength. Think about what they were feeling. Think about how they had seen how the fear that they had in Pharaoh and his army coming after them, them coming up to the Red Sea, being trapped with no way to deliver themselves, and God opened up the way. And I suspect he's done that for you a few times. I know he's done it for me. And I know that I see the nods. I see that he's done it for you too. God can do, he can still do that today. All right? The Lord is my strength. Here's the song they were singing upon their deliverance. The Lord is my strength and song. What are you singing about? They were singing about the Lord delivering them. I'd say that's a good thing to sing about every day. He's delivered us. We've even had a greater deliverance than just some army here in this world. He's delivered us from eternal ruin. He's delivered us to heaven. Now, we're not there yet, but it's sure and steadfast, isn't it? What he's done for us, nothing can separate us from it. And so someday it will be ours. And so they're singing in this world of their deliverance, and we need to do the same thing. We need to be singing every day, thanking God for his deliverance of us. It might be a temporal problem. It might just be thinking about the eternal deliverance that we have through our Lord and Savior, whatever the case might be. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. That's important. He said, in their song, they're saying, I will prepare him an habitation. In other words, he's got a place in my heart. And I want to keep him there. I want to sing about it. I want to feel his presence in my heart. And the more you exercise thanksgiving and gratitude for all that God has done for, the more you will feel that joy in you. Prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. All right? That should be our habit. God's deliverance of us is just as great every day, no matter what our circumstances are. And so the more we can remember that, the more fruit of thanksgiving and joy we'll be bearing. All right? And that's my burden right now, is to exhort God's people. It's only God's people who know and can do that. All right? Those that don't know the Lord, they're not going to give any glory to God. And he's worthy of more than we can ever give to him. So let's not waste time. I know we got responsibilities. We got, you know, there's a lot of things that we do in this world. Our jobs can be very mentally taxing and all of that. But I'm telling you something, you can have a joyful heart while you do it. You can sing praises when you have the opportunity. All right? So these brethren, when they were delivered across the Red Sea, they took the time to sing a song of deliverance. I would encourage you to remember your deliverance and to give him praise for the things that he's done for you. Let's also look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And this is one of those psalms. I want to read the subtitle in the beginning. After Psalm 18, there's some words here before you get into verse 1. That's one of the, a lot of times we don't know the background for some of the psalms that are given to us, but this one we're told. We're told here why we have this psalm. And it says, to the chief musician, which what we understand about when it was directed to the chief musician, this it was being directed to them because this was going to be useful. This is something that we need to sing on a regular basis. Don't just shuffle this to the side and never sing. You know, we got some good songs that we don't sing sometimes. But this was recommended to the chief musician. It was one of those things that needed to be sung on a regular basis to remind us of something wonderful. All right? So to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. And then we've got the psalm. So, yes, no doubt this was a time that David was rejoicing greatly because the Lord had delivered him from all of his enemies. You know, we've got frustrations and we've got tribulations that we're going to have to go through in this life. But if we keep in mind the fact that the ultimate deliverance from sin and from death, he's given us that victory already. It's ours. We can rejoice in it, no matter what our circumstances are. Okay? But David here in this psalm is singing about his deliverance from his enemies. So listen to what I'm going to just get a couple of the first three verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David realized his strength was in the Lord. When you read about the life of David, you'll find that there were many times that the Lord delivered David, that things happened that were just beyond his physical strength. The Lord blessed him. The Lord delivered him. And so he's willing to say, the Lord is my strength. You know, when he was facing Goliath, he wasn't boasting of himself, was he? He wasn't reminding, you know, all the things that he had done. No, what he was saying when he was going out against Goliath is all the things the Lord had done for him. And how that he was trusting that the Lord was going to deliver that uncircumcised Philistine into his hands. And I'm going to tell you, if you face every problem in life like that, that I'm not anything, but God is everything. He's the one that can deliver us. He's the one with his power. He is my strength. Then you're approaching that problem in a good way, when you're trusting the Lord to deliver you through it. All right? The Lord is my rock. You know, there's places in Scripture where he talks about rock in Psalm 40, when he talks about he lifted me up out of a horrible pit and placed my feet upon a rock and established my going, put a new song in my mouth. Okay? That's wonderful. But this rock here talks about a high place, talks about a mountain, a picture of strength. I mean, a mountain of rock. There's a lot of strength there, isn't it? That's what this is representing, all right? a fortress for me. I think he's going to go on and talk about that. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Boy, that's a mouthful. I mean, David is feeling the strength and the deliverance of his God, and he's praising him for it. He's speaking words of praise and adoration and thanksgiving in all that God is for him. I tell you, I believe David was satisfied with the Lord right then, wasn't he? Absolutely. And because of that, he's giving much praise to God. It's coming forth out of him in a mighty way. Now listen, I know that we're not always going to be on the mountaintop, but we can impact that. We can remember our circumstances in life and keep it in context. Don't ever let those things keep us from remembering the greatness of our God. I know those things have a way of sapping our strength at times. And there's a way, the ways that it gets us down. And life sometimes is hard. I understand that. But the more you'll think about the Lord and the fact that he's your strength, he's your high tower, he's your buckler. You know, that buckler is the small shield that you would hold it up for things close by. Okay? All the ways that the Lord protects us and is our protection. And there's so many things. I'm satisfied that there's a lot of things that could happen to us in this life, but the Lord has delivered us from. You know, you've probably had one of those situations where you were trying to get off on a trip, and it just seemed like several things was just delaying you and hindering you and stopping you from making the kind of time you wanted to, and then you get down the road and there's a terrible accident. Well, if you'd have been a little farther down the road, you might have been in that accident. You know, we never know, but you ought to thank God that you weren't in it. All right? So, and there's times, I know there's times in my life when I've purposed to do something and I was hindered. It turns out it was a great blessing that I didn't get to do what I purposed to do. All right? God, the more satisfied we are with our God, and the more we remember his greatness and his goodness and his mercy and his provisions and his deliverances of us, the more praise and adoration that we'll be willing to give to him, because we're more satisfied. Our mind is where it ought to be in thinking about his goodness and his mercy upon us. That's a good thing, all right? So he says he's my buckler, my horn, the horn of my salvation. That's the power of it. And my high tower. David is realizing in that psalm how the Lord delivered him. The great deliverance and all that the Lord is for him. Well, that's a good exercise for every one of us every day to keep those things in memory. You know, 2 Peter talks about, you know, stirring up our pure mind by way of remembrance and keeping us in remembrance of these things, though you know them. There's a lot of things that we know and a lot of things that we have experienced that God has blessed us with. Call those things to mind. Bring them to remembrance. Hold them in the forefront of your mind, because it'll help you to be more of a mind to praise and adore and be more satisfied with your God. He can't be any better than he is. But our mind can sure get off of that thing and get off of those things and onto other things. So the more we can bring those things to remembrance, the more we can remember how good God is. You know, from a blanket perspective, we know that he's absolutely good in every respect. But when you bring it home and remember the things he's done for you, that adds sweetness to it, doesn't it? That adds joy to your heart, all right? Now, so Psalm 18, David was thanking the Lord for delivering him from all of his enemies, even from Saul. Exodus 15, Israel was singing a song of praise and deliverance, from being delivered from the Egyptians. But you know, perhaps there may be other passages that are speak more directly to this or not, but it's commonly accepted that the 23rd Psalm is one of the most comforting passages in all the scriptures. If there's a chapter of the Bible that you've memorized, it's likely the 23rd Psalm. Right? I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it? The Lord's my shepherd. What does that mean? The shepherd takes care of the sheep. A good shepherd's going to do a good job of taking care of his sheep. I mean, you just take that as far as you want to. But the Lord is my shepherd. That implies we need a shepherd. We do, don't we? I mean, there's reasons why the Lord called his people sheep. And part of that is we need a shepherd. Well, if the Lord is our shepherd, you're not going to get any better. You can be satisfied that the Lord is your shepherd. What a blessing that is. And I could keep going. You know Psalm 23. I don't have to take time to do that. I think the time's about gone anyway. But just think about what that psalm is saying, how the Lord, as our shepherd, provides all that we stand in need of, and let it build up within you that understanding and strengthen you and help you to be more established in the fact that you are satisfied with your God. Because we have every reason to be.
Amen.
He's good and holy, just, faithful. He'll never let us down. Now, I know bad things happen in this world. But bless your hearts, he's already taken care of eternity. He sent his son to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. And if things don't turn out the way we want it in this life, bless your hearts, if you have a hope in Christ, and bless your heart, you've got all eternity to rejoice in your good and merciful Heavenly Father who sent his son to save us from our sins. God's most glorified by us when we're the most satisfied in him. Are you satisfied in him this morning? You going to be satisfied with him tomorrow when you face the frustrations at work or out in public? Try to keep that in mind. You know, I could give you some more homework. Think about the goodness of your God. Think about the blessings that we have from his bountiful hand. Think about his mercy. How many times have we failed our God? How many times have we let him down? How many times have we needed mercy? You know, the longer I live, the sweeter the thought of God's mercy gets, because I need more and more of it every day. I'm more keenly aware of it today than I ever have been. We need God's mercy, but I'm thankful that his mercy endureth forever. Be satisfied with your God. There's a lot of things that don't warrant our satisfaction, but he does. In every respect, God deserves our complete satisfaction. May God help us to remember that. Now, so in connection to that, very quickly here, in connection with that, remember now, the things of this world, if we start putting too much attention on those things, it crowds out that place in our heart that we've prepared for the Lord. Remember the parable of the sower? Remember some of it fell by the wayside, the bird snatched it away. You know, and I wonder some, and you know, I wonder sometimes when I pray and ask the Lord to give me a message for the congregation, sometimes I wonder, even those that show up, when you walk through those doors back there, how long do you remember it? How long does it stay with you? Or do the birds snatch it away immediately and you don't get any benefit from it? It can happen to God's people. It can happen. And when he gets down to that soil that had all the weeds in it, and the weeds represent to us the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world, which choke the seed and it can't become fruitful. And when all those kinds of cares crowd in our heart so that the word of God doesn't get in and has its effect so that we can bring forth fruit, when all those things choke out the word, we're going to be less satisfied with God because our focus is more on ourselves. And our heart's going to be full of those things instead of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise to our God. It's all connected. May God help us to remember him in all that we do. May God help us to thank him and give him praise and adoration every day we live. It may not be audible sounds coming out of your mouth, but at least let it be in your heart. All right? Some people are more expressive than others. Some people like to sing. Some people don't like to sing. But we've all got a heart, and I hope that we all feel those feelings in our hearts, whether they come forth out of our lips or not. But bless your hearts. May God help us to be thankful. May God help us to praise his holy name. May God help us to remember these things and be more thankful and more satisfied with who he is. Because he is holy and right and just and good all the time. We're the ones that change. We're the ones that are affected by circumstances. We're the ones that forget things. May God help us to remember his goodness and mercy and to do that which is pleasing in his sight. In closing, book of Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Instead of rushing into your day, focus primarily on what you've got to do and all the problems that you're facing or whatever. Give some time to remember the Lord. Remember his goodness. Remember his mercy. Remember his blessings upon you. And give him some praise and thanksgiving at the beginning of your day. I believe your day will go better because it'll help you to keep your mind. It'll help you to keep your heart. It'll help you to do that which is honoring and glorifying to his matchless name. God is most glorified by us when we're most satisfied in him. May God bless you, is our prayer.